I'm Christy Martin, the superintendent of Washington Local Schools. Welcome to Scoop with a Soup, where you will get firsthand information on what's going on in Washington Local Schools, where every student matters and every moment counts. Hello. Today I am here with some special guests talking about a topic that's really, I guess, passionate to me in all my roles here in Washington Local. So I have Officer Brian Meyer here. I have our Director of Communications, Katie Peters, and then I have our Assistant Superintendent, Jennifer Bronikowski, and we're going to talk to you today about safety and some of the things that we do here at Washington Local to keep our kids safe. So, Jennifer, you want to start?
I do. So I am the Assistant Superintendent for Washington Local Schools, and safety is always at the forefront of our minds. Every decision we make, I feel like it's vetted through the safety lens and then vetted through the academic lens. And some people may say that one should be over the other, but I do think anyone who's in schools in 2024 knows that safety is the thing that pervades all else. Mm-hmm. If we don't get this right, we feel like we can't get anything else right. So in any case, I'm just super thrilled to work with the folks that we do, including our director of security, Brian Meyer, and then our communications director, who helps us kind of get our message across to people smoothly and the way that we would like it communicated.
Officer Meyer, how long have you been with the district?
I started with the district in January of 2014. I was with the Lucas County Sheriff's Office for 28 years before that. Retired in October of 13 and started here January of 14.
Can you tell the community a little bit about like the daily staff that we have and some of the things that your security staff do here for our students?
So on any given day we have on campus, we have counting myself and our TPD resource officer, we have six armed officers, and with us it's like eight. And then I have a grade school rover who goes around and does the grade schools for me. He's at an arrival at a different building every day, and at dismissal, he attends a different building every day.
Great. So one of your team and your group, I guess they work with kids, and I think that's, they see kids day in and day out. And a lot of things that happen in our schools or we maybe hear that are going to happen, because you all have such a good rapport and a relationship with our students, I think we're able to, you know, prevent things. So sometimes we hear maybe, you know, someone will come tell you, like, Officer Meyer, we heard there might be a fight. So talk to me about some of the relationships and some of the things that with your students that, you know, you're proud of. Because
so that happens daily. We have a great rapport with the kids. And like you said, a lot of things are stopped ahead of time because the kids will come up and they trust us. Mm-hmm. We make good contacts with the kids daily. We're interacting in the hallways, interacting in the lunchroom, just hands-on with the kids. I mean, I expect my officers to be in the hallways, not in the office. We want to be out, be seen with the kids, interacting with the kids, and getting to know, mainly, we'd like to get to know all the kids if we could. But with the school being so big, mm-hmm. I mean, there are kids that we don't know, but we try to make good connections with all the students.
Officer Meyer, sorry to interrupt, but I also heard a rumor that you have a snack locker.
I do have a snack locker. So I
care to elaborate?
I do. Me and my wife, we go to Costco every Sunday, and I fill my locker up with crackers, fruit snacks, Pop-Tarts, chips. I mean, whatever the kid, they give me orders. So whatever the kids order, we buy, and I tell them when it's gone for the week, and then... But then we go back on Sunday and restock up for the kids.
If you feed them, they will come.
They will come.
It does go back to that whole, if you see something or you hear something, say something. And I think that's a culture we've created. And Jennifer, you were the high school principal the last few mm-hmm. years. And when I'd be in the building in the morning, I'd hear you saying, you ended every announcement with,
remember, you're in a building full of people who care about you. Make it a great day, Panthers.
And I think that's what you said every time. Mm-hmm. And the kids knew it. And it wasn't just lip service. There are people in that building that care about kids. So mm-hmm. many of them. And mm-hmm. I think building that rapport and knowing that kids trust, like you mentioned the word trust, and can reach out, I think that's so huge.
And I think, too, when you're so accessible, like our school resource officers are when they're in the hallway, whether it's a junior high or our elementary rovers, when they're around, students know that they can come to you with something that's brewing. And sometimes it's even like one of their friends, like they've tried to get their friend out of a situation where they didn't think it was healthy or was going to be going in a positive direction. They couldn't do it. So then you see them go right to the school resource officer, and then we can intervene or they can intervene in a different way. So
our staff, from our deans to administrators and teachers and resource officers, are so good at being able to prevent something and deal with something without calling out somebody or putting somebody in that situation. So, I mean, if people always worry that my name will get out there, people will know, but we truly have a building of skilled people that are able to help kids without throwing someone under the bus or putting that, you know, I know kids would use the word snitching, but it's not snitching. It's keeping people safe.
Yeah, it's not snitching at all. Yeah.
I appreciate that. Jennifer, let's talk a little bit about some of the security things that have happened in the last few years at Washington Local.
I think probably one of the things that I have taken a lot of comfort in are the locking mechanisms and the way that we are securing our students so that they can have a safe environment to learn in all day. We know that it's the world they live in. They hear things, they see things. And the more that we can do to make sure that they know that we're aware, the better for them, the better for their families, and the better for our whole community. So I think of things like the fobs at our elementary schools and at Whitmer High School. We did some key changing at the junior highs as well because we know the middle school will have the most up-to-date security features. So we're really excited about that. Every building has an entryway where you stopped and then you have an appointment. And that goes back to communicating our appointment protocol. It helps all of us when families come to the school for whatever reason to have an appointment first. It's easier for us. We can direct people right where they need to go. And then we're prepared for them, for what they need as well when they've made an appointment. So all of those things to me add up to a safer place for our kids to learn. And that's our ultimate goal.
Agree. You oversee all of the administrators in the district, and you know, this time of year, they're all doing their drills.
I know, Brian,
you help with some of these. Let's talk about drills and safety checks here.
So, and the state does give us great guidelines into when we should have our drills and what we should be drilling about. And, you know, when we do our large evacuation drills, basically that means we're getting all of our students out of the building in the event of any kind of emergency. So that could be a chemical spill. It could be an intruder, but any reason why we have to get our students out quickly. We let folks know about that. Really, we have a great plan, and then our teachers know, and our paraprofessionals know, our nutrition services know, but we don't send that message to our families until after we've had the drill take place. And that way we communicate with them that it was successful, but we don't ever want to put our students in a place either where we're like, hey, we're going to tell everybody that we're going to have 500 students who are walking from point A to point B. So just in case anyone has questions about why we send that notification afterward, we just make sure that we're keeping them safe and we have an effective drill, and then we're able to communicate with families.
And Brian, you go to a lot of the buildings and help administrators kind of, you watch and you give feedback. You want to talk a little bit about that?
I do. I try to attend all the schools when they do their drills. I just organize, help them organize, getting kids to the safe zones and safe places. It's hard because some of the little kids want to just take off and do their own thing. We try to keep them corralled and get them to where they're supposed to be. And make sure they're safe.
We've had situations, we had a weather issue at one time at a football game. And, you know, because we've practiced these drills, they're kind of muscle memory for our kiddos. They know you kind of walk quickly, calmly, you get to that place and you go in and kind of shelter in place. But I do think practicing helps create that muscle memory in the event that you truly have to implement any kind of safety.
One other thing we all started doing some years back based on a recommendation was blocking an exit. So if you're really in a fire drill and, you know, we're just rotely going through our business and our teacher told us this is the way we exit, but then what if there's a fire? What if this area is blocked for whatever reason? We need our kids thinking. We need to make sure they know that this isn't my only way out. There's going to be a different way. We just have to be aware of what a different exit would be. So that's been something we've done too, and our kids seem to respond very well.
And sometimes we've had issues happen that we practice. So, like, we had a little small fire one time. We'll talk about that. But it was a good learning.
Yeah, it was. It was. And it's one of those times that you're like, is the alarm going off? Like, okay, that this is not a drill. Like, actually, something is happening. And we were able to see billowing smoke coming out of the cafeteria. And, again, the students just reacted so well. They knew they couldn't go one direction, so they started pouring out of other directions. Adults step in, and they start directing traffic to make sure we get kids to a safe place. The fire department comes, we get everything cleared out. That event, I want to say, was about 27 minutes. And our students, our security team, like everyone just realizes this is an emergency. This is what we do these drills for. I will say it happened for a second time, and the students were like, Mrs. Bronikowski, is this real? Is it real again? Is there really another one? We're like, yep, here we go. And we did realize what the situation was. But again, our students are great, and they just lock in step, do exactly what we need them to do. And that's the goal.
The students do really do well in trainings. They really do. In evacuations, the trainings, fire drills, they really do well.
Unfortunately, we've had situations in the district where we've had to actually, you know, go into a lockdown. And usually that's kind of ordered by something that has been, CPD has contacted us or something has happened. And I think it's important because when you read on social media after the fact, which is what I kind of do, I go through comments to see how can we be better, what can we do differently. I think we learned last year there's a lot of anxiety for parents. So I thought we've kind of created a protocol. We have that pretty down. KP, you want to talk a little bit about when we truly have to go into a lockdown situation?
Sure. And we also want to say that we always understand that parents' comments and things are rooted in fear, right? Mm-hmm. It's your worst fear that something should happen and you aren't there to help your child. Right. So that's where we come in, and we kind of developed a six-step protocol for lockdowns. And the very first thing we do is that we have to secure the building. And in some cases, that happens really quickly. And in other cases, kids are at recess. Kids are at lunch. It takes a little longer for us to secure whatever that space is. And we have to make that our number one priority. And I know that parents want immediately to know what's going on, but we all hands on deck, right? We're all focused on making sure that the area or the building or the campus, depending on the situation, is secure. We have to communicate with law enforcement to find out exactly what are the facts, what is the danger, because it doesn't do us any good to just start spilling out things that we speculate might be happening. That just creates more fear. And so we want our families to trust us and know that we're being transparent. So we've secured the building, we've communicated with law enforcement, and then we notify our building staff. They're the ones caring for children. They're the ones who have the responsibility and the enormous pressure of making sure that all of the little bodies in front of them, or bigger bodies, depending on the age level, are comfortable and that they know that they're safe and that they're provided for. And once our staff is aware of what's happening, we then can move to letting our community know. And that happens on social media and on email and text. It happens simultaneously, but the message is not delivered simultaneously. Our email and text system is a technology feature, and it takes some time to get through hundreds, sometimes thousands, of email addresses and phone numbers. So yes, you will read it on social media first because that's immediate. But it doesn't mean that we're only posting on social media or that we haven't sent the email and text home to parents. We just need to make sure that our parents are signed up for those text alerts and those emails as well. Sometimes the info snap is not accurate, and so they don't get those. And we understand that creates frustration. And those are all things that we look at after the fact to try to figure out how we can improve. But we are following that protocol every single time. And Jennifer, you can probably speak to securing a building, how sometimes it's something that happened outside of the building in the street or in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with our kids or our staff at all. But when law enforcement comes in and says, lock the doors.
You lock the doors. Yeah. And I do want to validate for families and community members, too, that we are feeling that same sense of wanting information. When we lock down based on something law enforcement has told us about it, we are hungry for that too, and we can't get it fast enough. And then we try in our buildings as building leaders to every couple of minutes go on the announcements if it's accessible to us and just let our students know what we can. And then we're very thrilled when we're clear. You know, when we get the all clear, like, no, we're good to go. And then we put that message out.
Absolutely. And Officer Meyer is integral in that because he oftentimes is our main line to our law enforcement and what's happening and being able to share. Sometimes they can't share what's happened because they're investigating something as well. Mm-hmm. So we have to be really cognizant of not impeding an investigation while also keeping our families informed.
Yes, and we learned through a situation too that, you know, we can't really communicate anything on behalf of the TPD. We have to contact their public information officer, and they kind of help what the community is allowed to know because there could be an investigation going on. So we learn as well, and sometimes we never really know what happened. That's not, you know, we're not privy to that information. So we do try to give the best information that we can, but assure you all hands on deck to keep kids safe. That I've been there. It's a lot of weight on everyone, and there's nothing more important in a situation like that than just keeping kids safe and staying calm and making sure the kids are okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's not always a danger to students either. Sometimes it's a medical situation where we just need traffic in the halls to stop for a student's privacy. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Or, and again, nothing specific, but if you have a student who has a seizure and it happens in a particular place, you do have to lock down part. That way they can get the, to your point, medical care that they need and keep their integrity and
dignity.
And, yes, and everyone doesn't know. I think the other point that I would just like to highlight is that all of these evacuation drills and the things that we're doing for our students to prepare them are all translatable. So if you're at a game, if you're at any other event, if you're at a friend's house, if you're someplace and there is some billowing smoke or there's a sound you're not sure what that is, use those exit strategies and the things that you've done to transfer into that personal side, not the school side, and put yourself in a safe place.
Yeah.
One thing, you know, we talked about if you see something, say something. We do have the Ohio Safer Schools tip line that we put out there. It's a way to anonymously report anything. But, you know, I just would say, as we kind of come to a close here on the safety part, just always letting us know. Nothing is too small. If you're thinking maybe I should alert, let us know. And don't ever hesitate. You know, it doesn't matter what time of day or night we do. You know, Brian knows this. I will call Brian and say, we need a wellness check on this house. And Brian's like, I'm going. And we really have a great team to check on kids and do that. So don't ever, if you're thinking about it, just go ahead and do it.
Absolutely.
One thing I do on all the episodes is talk about, you've been in the district quite a while, one of your favorite moments. Would you like to share kind of a special moment or something that kind of stands out to you, Officer Meyer, here while you've been in Washington Local?
I really don't have a favorite moment. I mean, I just, coming from the Sheriff's Department and working here is totally different, two different things. I mean, the Sheriff's Department, I went, it was my job. You went to work every day, did your job. You come to Washington Local, and it's like family. It's like everybody gets along. We all work together. It's totally different. Like, it's hard to explain. No. It's just a totally different atmosphere when you come to Washington Local.
We talk a lot about relationships, and I think that's what you're communicating. It's just that rapport you build with the staff and the kids. That, you know, kids have graduated for years. I know, come visit you and
they still come visit me and say hi. And
try to find your snack locker, even though they're in their 20s.
They're in human hall at, you know, stores and they are the mall, and you know, and they're always stopping and talking, and no matter where you are.
Yeah. So, and I know I've already asked Jennifer and KP that because you've both been on, but I just wanted to, Officer Meyer, to give us a little example. So that's it. I appreciate all the talk on safety, and I appreciate all that you guys do to keep our kids safe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode of Scoop with a Soup, the show where you get firsthand information about why every student matters and every moment counts. If you have something you would like me to talk about in a future episode, please email me at kmartin@wls4kids.org. And until next time, go Panthers!